Tokyo, Australia, Germany, Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday. Yeah. Thursday, the 29th day of... not February. No, 29th day of October, 2015. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that's where you go to jump into the chat room, among other things. Yeah. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chatroom. Pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you'll be right in there in the full-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn Chat during the live portion of the program. Folks, a little slow wandering in this evening, but we don't stand on ceremony. Thank you. Carol tells me I'm on. This thing on? Yes, indeed. And frankly, that's not always a guarantee. I mean, the brand new internet line that came that we had to bring in last week is deader than last Friday's mackerel. Mm-hmm. We'll muddle through somehow. We of course are a listener supported operation, and that's how we. That's how we keep all of this going. Monstrous amounts of bills remaining to be paid to close out the month. And on the week, we have $550 yet to go in terms of fundraising. So that means, of course, we are in the hole by $150. Hopefully, that will be remedied in short order. Really, hopefully. Of course, the PayPal interface is over at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, where you fill out all the stuff except for the part where you have to talk about what it is you do for Mr. Drucker down to the general store there in Hooterville, right? And, yeah, and stay away from Pixley. That place, that's Sin City, that Pixley is. So then you just get to the next page, and that's where you make your choices about PayPal, credit cards, et cetera, whatever. Yeah, right. If you prefer to use a check or a money order, the U.S. Postal Service brings the mail every day, although, you know, sometimes it's just an echo chamber. And that address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, WV 25801. I paid out $1,000 in bills in the last day. Yuck. Well, I mean, not yuck, but you know, that's where it is. So raising that $550 is kind of huge, but we won't dwell on it, and we'll just kind of hope for the best, shall we? Yes, do let's. Oh goodness me! I thought it was right nice of them to schedule a Republican pageant on CNBC on Wednesday so that we could have it, available for Thorn in the Side Thursday. Because I mean, those Republican presidential candidates. I mean, well now, that was thorn in the side. I mean, that was more like a spear. You know, some of this stuff never goes away. I mean, Lord God. So there's a memorial in Berlin. And, you know, right-wingers are all over the world. Now, they're not just Republicans. Fascism is a global problem, and it never went away. We thought we had them licked, but we didn't. You know, remember when we were all worried about the commies? Well, the fascists were there, too. They were just sort of, I guess, under the radar. Or maybe we prefer fascism to communism when you get right down to it. I mean, look at the fascists we here in the United States of America. The greatest country in the world on earth now today forever under God. Got to say that under God part. I've been forgetting that. But, no, in 2012 in Berlin, a memorial there was unveiled to the 500,000 or so Roma and Sinti people who were murdered by the Nazi regime. Well, that memorial has now been defaced. The foundation that maintains the memorial announced today that there in the Tiergarten Park in Berlin, right across from the Reichstag, Nazis, the real, yeah, real live, you know, defaced the monument. Scrawling Hakenkreuzen swastikas on the monument, and then and writing the phrase "gas them" on it. Mm-hmm. Not a good sign. There's a lot to worry about with the rise of fascism, and I have a feeling that one of these days we'll probably wind up having to deal with them again. According to historians, 500,000 Roma men, women, and children were murdered between 1939 and 1945. Roma people had been in Germany for about 600 years when that took place. It was Heinrich Himmler referred to it as the final solution of the gypsy question. I wonder if maybe Bibi Netanyahu can blame the Mufti of Palestine for that too. But no, it's deeply disturbing. Gas them. Jesus. Yeah. But no, by all means, and there was some, since it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, there was some genuine, and I know, what do you mean, it was nothing but no, there, all the Republican candidates for president engaged in one degree or another of jackassery. Jeb's little remark sort of jumped right through the telescreen at me. Because remember, Jeb doesn't think we're working hard enough. No. Maybe he's been hanging out with Bill Cole here in West Virginia. You know, the guy who says that that union workers make unfairly high wages. But naturally, being Jebya, we had Hillary to explain to us that we are not Denmark, and Jebya is just keeping up. I don't know, Jebya and Marco the Blonde, isn't that what Rubio means in Spanish? Got into a bit of a tussle last night. Jebbia went after Marco for missing votes in the Senate. Mm-hmm. And in so doing, Jebbia said that that Marco was keeping a French work week in the Senate. Well, Jebbia is... Remember when we thought he was the smart one? Oh, how wrong we were. There aren't any smart ones. No. This did not sit well with Les Français. Gérard Araud is the ambassador, the French ambassador to the United States. And being a French diplomats are probably the very best. I mean, they kind of invented it, didn't they? Diplomacy. So he said, in any country, electoral campaigns offer the opportunity for a lot of bombastic nonsense. Let's be indulgent. A French work week of 3 days? No. But a pregnancy paid leave of 16 weeks? Yes. And proud of it. Well, see, that just tells you how French those French people are. They're proud of letting those layabout pregnant women sit around eating bonbons and chocolates and you know, raising their newborn infants as if those babies aren't in the womb anymore. They don't matter to a Republican. But just for the sake of accuracy, no, Jebbia is an idiot. I mean, we're talking about hadn't got enough sense to pour piss out of a boot with directions on the heel. People in France work an average of 39.6 hours per week. Mm-hmm. Steve's right there on top of it. Steve asks via email, is that the French work week that includes, paid sick leave, paid vacation, that kind of thing? Yeah, that French work week. Exactly. Is that the week which guarantees paid leave, paid sick leave, pregnancy paid leave, health care, vacation? Yeah. That one. But we wouldn't be the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, under God, if pregnant women were able to go have babies, you know, on the dole. That would just suck all the American exceptionalism right out of America. These are just some brutally hateful, stupid, mean people. Reminds me of the bumper sticker. You know, mean people suck. And meanwhile, Henri de Rancourt, who is a senator for Yon, France, and a former cabinet minister, said, French work week versus real accomplishment. He invited Bush to come and see the French Senate in action. And he said, in the Yon, we defend our institutions beyond the borders. Hear, hear. You know, what a... Let the pros do it, Bob. Yeah. Thank you.
You dick!
Precisely. Precisely. But that thing last night was an absolute Well, it was a circus act. It was a big old hot mess. And apparently attacking poor little Marco Rubio it was not something that was much appreciated. I mean, there's big old filthy rich Jeb, yeah, and Marco talked about how his daddy never saved no money, and so him and his wife have had to struggle. Marco Rubio is a millionaire, and Marco was talking about, you know, his struggle. Yeah, he struggles, Marco, the millionaire. Right. So lo and behold, Jebya went on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda and hadn't learned his lesson. But then again, he's a Bush, and they don't do that whole learning lessons thing, right? Yeah.
Marco, when you signed up for this, this was a 6-year term, and you should be showing up to work. I mean, literally, the Senate, what is it, like a French work week? You get like 3 days where you have to show up? You can campaign or just resign and let someone else take the job.
I don't remember you ever complaining about John McCain's vote record. The only reason why you're doing it now is because we're running for the same position, and someone has convinced you that attacking me is going to help you.
Well, I've been...
Here's the bottom line. I'm not... My campaign... It's going to be about the future of America. It's not going to be about attacking anyone else on this stage. I will continue to have tremendous admiration and respect for Governor Bush. I'm not running against Governor Bush. I'm not running against anyone on the stage. I'm running for president.
I was about ready to cry, weren't you? Big old mean old Jebya beating up on poor little short Marco Rubio. Do we elect short guys president? I'm just checking. No. And I mean, just the camera angles there. Marco looks like a freaking hobbit next to Jebya. You know, one of the bad hobbits, of course. Not, you know, one of those Sackville Bagginses, you know, Lobelia's son. Oh, dear God, I'm glad I didn't see that. Carol says, you know, Chris Matthews was sitting around with a bunch of Republicans talking about how they wiped the Democrats. Oh, he must have that tingle in his pants again. Oh, dear. So anyway, let's check back in with Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, shall we?
It was one of the hottest exchanges of last night's Republican debate, generating plenty of buzz around former Florida Governor Jeb Bush and his one-time protege, Senator Marco Rubio. We're fortunate to have with us for his first post-debate interview, Governor Jeb Bush. It's great to have you with us, Governor. As we mentioned in the hours that have passed since the debate, there's been plenty said about your exchange with Senator Marco Rubio.
By the way, how do you pronounce that exclamation? Isn't she supposed to say, Jeb! Yeah, kind of the way Bat Dad says, Jen! You know who Bat Dad is, right? Yeah. Jeb! You got to get that exclamation point in there. Although I really do wish they'd just adopt the Jebya thing, because that's perfect. That is just freaking perfect.
But we have yet to hear from you. In your reflection, in the last several hours, what do you think of that exchange?
Look, I was cut off to be able to complete the thought. I'm a doer, and I think we need a doer as President of the United States, someone who has a proven record. We've had 7 years with a divider-in-chief who is spectacular as a candidate, great speaker. He's a very, very good politician, but he's divided the country in all of its our disparate parts, and we're now suffering. People are really hurting, and I think that's the point. The point is that pursuing your own ambitions at the expense of service of others is wrong. It's the wrong way to go. Marco's my friend. I admire him greatly. He is a gifted politician for sure. But I think we need to focus on who can lead, who can forge consensus, who can solve problems. And that's my approach here in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, over the next day and a half. And I'll be campaigning hard all across this country with a message that I can fix the things that are broken in Washington.
Yeah, okay. I'm guessing maybe the you don't show up for work argument's not going to work real well for Jebya, because is it just my imagination, or do I remember the 8 long years of the reign of error of his brother, in which the last thing in the world that W wanted to do was show up to work. I mean, wasn't he the most vacationing president of all time? Wasn't he? Because I think he was. I mean, he took more vacation than any other president in American history. I mean, FDR didn't take as much vacation over the course of his terms in office as Jeb took in two. Well, it wasn't August 6th, 2001. Wasn't W cutting brush or riding around his golf course out at the Nada Ranch because he was afraid of horses? When just said, pass it off to Brownie and let him look at it. That presidential daily briefing of August the 6th, the one that was titled Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S., wasn't George on vacation then? But, of course, if you raise that issue with Jebya, he'll say, but my brother kept us safe. You know, except for the thousands of people who died because he wasn't keeping us safe, which is sort of a, well, it's a smarmy, what is it? Are we talking about the president or the national nanny kept us safe? You know, here we are in our 300 plus millions of us just walking around licking our fingers and looking for a light socket to stick it in. Now, you don't want to do that. I got to keep you safe. Get away from the electrical outlet there, baby. And, of course, you know, the divider-in-chief there, that line, that was just precious, wasn't it? Yeah, because that one in our White House, you know, the Kenyan Muslim usurper, well, he won't stop being black, and therefore he has divided us. Jesus.
Message taken. A few days ago, though, in South Carolina, you had this to say. You said, I've got a lot of really cool things I could do other than sit around being miserable, listening to people demonize me and feeling compelled to demonize them. So at this point in your campaign, just a few days later, why did you feel compelled to demonize Marco Rubio? What are you trying to achieve?
Oh, no, Jenna, I'm not demonizing anybody. What I'm saying is the gridlock in Washington, if you want to elect someone that wants to pray.
You hear that bell in the background of Jebya? That's what they ring in Portsmouth, New Hampshire when somebody's lying.
On people's fears and angst, then I'm not the right guy. I can fix the problems in Washington. And that's exactly what my mission is. I'm not demonizing Marco Rubio to point out he has the worst attendance record in the United States Senate. And it was the worst one prior to his campaign as well.
Well, that's a demonization. You understand why people think that that's a demonization. And some actually believe it's a mistake. And, for example, in Politico today, in an article entitled Bush Walks Into Rubio's Trap, one of your donors, who remains unnamed, said going after Rubio way was just a mistake. No one cares about missed votes in the Senate. Washington cares about that. The media cares about that. And losing candidates care about that. Was it a mistake, Governor?
No, it wasn't a mistake. It's a mistake to run for an office and not serve. He can do both, but the simple fact is he's not doing that. And a lot of people care about this. A lot of people are working part-time and they want to work full-time. A lot of people are frustrated with their...
Yeah, like his staff that he cut back their hours because, well, the campaign is... what's the term? Shipping water? Yes.
Jobs all across this country, but continue to show up to work. A lot of people that can't take time off unless they get a deduction in their pay. I mean, that's the real world. Are we creating a separate alternative universe in Washington, D.C.? That's part of the problem. I think that people can work and can run for office as well. But to say that's not important and be frustrated with the job and not show up for committee hearings, not show up when military families are wondering whether there's going to be a budget for their loved ones overseas. I mean, these are serious times, and I think we need to start forging consensus, and I have
understood.
The skills to do that.
So why do you...
I really want Jebya's sound effects box. Did you hear him start telling that other whopper? And woo, woo, woo. I think the goddess of irony is just sort of... She's decided to... full-on tweak it, poor Jebya, now, hasn't she?
People in Washington don't seem to have that capability.
Why are you pointing out Rubio and not some of the other candidates? What is it about Rubio that you feel particularly passionate about?
Well, the fact of the matter is he tried to pick a fight with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump mopped the floor with him. So he's going to try to work the undercard and, you know, There's Marco, and he's a little guy. And yes, as Irish Dave reminds me, little Jimmy Madison was a little tiny fella, too. But that's about the last one. Mm-hmm. And Marco is Marco, not a Madison. No. Not by a long shot.
Well, he's got the worst attendance record, and I'm a constituent of his, and that's part of it. But sure, the other, let's put it this way, the three senators on the stage that were there last night, all of whom are gifted politicians, you can count on two fingers the number of bills that they've sponsored that have become law. That gridlock, if we're asking them to go solve that gridlock, I think we might be mistaken, just as we were 7 years ago when a gifted politician, Barack Obama, ran for office and has fooled us. It was all going to be about the United States of America, not blue states and red states, and the net result is we're more divided today than ever before.
Yeah, because he did that with his blackening. White House, yes. What a schmuck. I mean, really. But then there was the attack on the for-profit media, and that was precious, too. Poor little Rince Priebus, RNC chair, who has been rendered absolutely powerless, was there. Well, all they were doing is asking gotcha questions, just a bunch of gotcha questions. Because, see, if you ask a question that's fact-based to a Republican, you know, that's a gotcha question. Reality world questions, that's a gotcha question. Dear God. Some of the clips were truly precious. But one more thing about Jebya. This comes in from the Department of... Oh, that's creepy. Jebya was interviewed in an appearance at the Libre Forum in North Las Vegas, Nevada. And somebody asked him a question about his favorite comic book characters. All I can say is, you know, kind of yuck. Just yuck. And Jebby's got better things to do than answer your comic book questions, by the way. Right? Yeah. This is, this is right up there. Hey, baby, what's your sign? So he got around to eventually sort of kind of answering the question, saying that he was an old school comic book fan. Okay, I guess. But then the creepy kicked in. Yes. The really creepy. The, like, you know, pervy creepy. Yeah, here we go. I think. I hope. Because there's a new TV series out. It's called Supergirl. Right? Yeah. And the young woman playing... And there's been a debate over whether she should be Supergirl or Superwoman. But Melissa Benoist plays Supergirl. And I guess Jebya had to know this so that he wouldn't be accused of being another clueless Bush who didn't know what a barcode scanner was or whatever, like his daddy. I'll just check it out.
Favorite superhero, Marvel, they have in parentheses, and why? Do you think the superhero...
This is the second time I've been asked this question. What's up with this?
That people want to know.
someone told me there's a new Marvel show. It's about Ant-Man or something like that.
You like that one?
No, I haven't met Ant-Man yet.
You're more of a DC Comics guy?
I like watching the movies, and I wish I owned Marvel. as someone that believes in capitalism. Yeah. I don't know, I'm kind of old school. I kind of like, I like the old school guys, like Batman. A little dark these
days. Good choice.
I saw that there's a Supergirl is on TV. I saw it on the when I was working out this morning. There's an ad promoting Supergirl. She looked pretty hot.
Yeah, there's Jeb, you pervin' on a young actress. Naturally, the for-profit media had to run out and interview Melissa Benoist. She said, I don't know what to think about it, but I'm glad he's excited to watch the show. Really, really excited. Excited. The Bushes, I mean, my God. But I have to admit that my favorite from last night, of all the clips I watched, my favorite had to be from the kids' table, the kiddie table debate. Little old, and there's that phrase again. I'm so glad Lynn Westmoreland down in Georgia brought that back into the common usage. Little old Lindsey Graham, mercy sakes. we'll give him this much. He is at least fun. I mean, even when he's out there saying that they're going to kill us all, you can. It's just he does it in such a delightful manner. There, you know, sending out his missives from underneath the fainting couch. Yes. Just damn lightful. Really?
One candidate on the other side thought she was flat broke after her and her husband were in the White House for 8 years. The number two guy went to the Soviet Union on his honeymoon, and I don't think he ever came back. If we don't beat these people, who the hell are we going to beat?
Senator, thank you.
Notice the Bernie smear there? The red baiting continues. He didn't go to the Soviet Union for his honeymoon. Oh, baby, I love you. Let's leave Burlington and fly to Moscow for some borscht. That's love. No. But did the for-profit media correct that? You know, the for-profit media that were so hard on those poor little bitty baby Republicans. No, of course not. Because that's a meme that they want to perpetuate.
We're being walked all over because our commander-in-chief is weak in the eyes of our enemies. At the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, the foreign policy of Barack Obama needs to be replaced, and the last person you want to find to replace his foreign policy is his Secretary of State. So to the Chinese, when it comes to dealing with me, you got a clenched fist or an open hand. You pick. The party's over to all the dictators.
What? Isn't that just deliciously butch of him? Standing there with his closed fist and his open hand And Lindsay's one of these days he's going to get out from under that fainting couch and he's going to come and whip some Chinese ass. Yes, he is. Absolutely. And then come back to the family estate there at Smoldering Chode and though I don't know, have a julep or three with John. Hold me, John. I've had a hard day of wrestling the Chinaman.
Make me commander-in-chief and this crap stops. I promise you, if you make me your president, I will save Social Security because I know why it exists.
But he's going to save Social Security when Social Security doesn't really need saving. It can be made solvent for a future that includes all of the lives currently in being in this country. But see, that's right-wing code. When he says save Social Security, he means kill it. When he says save Social Security, what he's talking about is making sure that, like, if you're a member of my generation, I like to call us the cat food generation. Kate says we're the She says canned mackerel is cheaper than cat food now. It probably is. But what he means is that, you know, the retirement age for us will be like, you know, 96. Because it's easy to screw my generation. They proved it. They've already screwed us once. Weren't paying attention, you know, back there. Next thing you know, no, you don't get to. Are you kidding? Early retirement at 62 on Social Security? Who the hell do you think you are? Pledge pin? Right. So that's what save Social Security means. It means you ain't going to see it. Right, right.
Now, if you're looking for good beer policy, I'm your best bet. My dad owned a bar. I know beer. I'm not a scientist, and I've got the grades to prove it. But I've talked to the climatologists of the world, and 90% of them are telling me that greenhouse gas effect is real. We're not going to deport 11 million people and their legal citizen children, but we will deport felons. And those who stay will have to learn our language to stay. Because I don't speak it well, but look how far I've come.
Senator, how
at the end of the day, folks, I am trying to solve a problem and win an election.
You tell him, Lindsay, you are not going to take their bourgeois no more. I have had enough of you people. Jesus. But Lindsay, in the undercard, I think Lindsay deserves to be included in one of the grown-up debates, just so that he can get it in there and mix it up with, maybe Donald, I don't know, possibly Jebbia. Mm-hmm. Nikki just sent me a tweet. She said, "I'm baking apple pies and laughing my ass off at you today. Dogs, I love the words you use." Hey, Nikki, I got a clip for that. Yeah, I do. There it is.
God darn it! You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
Mm-hmm. That's me. But when it comes to cutting that one in our White House down to size, you know, the Kenyan muslin, you slurper, nobody does it quite like, nobody takes somebody to ground quite like a South Carolinian, as we have recently seen. Well, Lindsay is no different. Fiddle-dee-dee.
God, look who we're running against. The number one candidate on the other side thought she was flat broke after her and her husband were in the White House for 8 years. The number two guy went to the...
Yeah. And that one, he's weak. He is just weak is what he is. Oh, I think it would be unfair if we didn't at least, you know, mention Piyush Jindal. I mean, he's almost invisible, but still. Let's give him a little bit of airtime, just because of the fun. Shall we?
$18 trillion of debt, record low participation rate in the workforce, record number of Americans on food stamps. We are going the way of Europe. The left is trying to turn the American dream into the European nightmare. If I were leading, we would pass a conservative budget.
Time out, okay, Jack? Okay, time out. That European nightmare? The European nightmare of paid maternity leave and paternity leave. That European nightmare of access to affordable health care. That European nightmare of mandatory paid vacation. That European nightmare of no GMO foods. That European nightmare of a meaningful, dignified retirement. Marsha. Right. Yeah, no wonder the people in his state hate his guts. It's just so easy to do.
Of Europe. The left is trying to turn the American dream into the European nightmare. If I were leading, we would pass a conservative budget, challenge the president to do the right thing. Here's the problem. The Republicans never want to fight. Give Pelosi and Reid credit. They forced Obamacare and socialism down our throats. Why won't the Republicans fight half as hard for freedom and opportunity? This was a bad budget.
What, Edith, huh? They forced socialism down our throats? Where do I sign up? I've been looking. Because, I mean, I'm here in almost level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan, and you can't swing a dead cat without hitting somebody. Says, that Kenyan Muslim's he's made a socialist. Where, please? I mean, damn. For a socialist, I mean, everybody's supposed to, isn't that where, you know, as long as they pretend to pay us, we'll pretend to work, and so you've got some job on the collective farm or something? He's not a very good socialist, is he? Because, I mean, we've got one of the highest, all told total unemployment numbers in the entire country. And you'd think if we'd already had, as Piyush here says, if we already had socialism rammed down our throats, you wouldn't have that kind of unemployment numbers. Or maybe those are just brave, patriotic merkins who refuse to be marched into the socialist slaughter pen of having a job. Sweet jumping Jehoshaphat. Down our throats. Brr.
President Obama's tried to teach the American people that government is the answer to all of our problems. Where's that gotten us? We're on the path towards socialism. The way that folks can get better paying jobs with better benefits is if we have a growing economy.
But we've already had socialism rammed down our throats. How can we be on the path to it? I mean, you can't have your Soviet and hate it too. Darn.
That means you repeal all of Obamacare. A lower, flatter tax code. That means that we have an energy plan that makes sense. That means that we embrace an all-of-the-above approach to energy. Those are good-paying jobs, $50,000, $70,000, $90,000 a year jobs with benefits. But this president won't let us produce more energy on our domestic federal lands and waters. He won't allow the Canadians to build the Keystone Pipeline. He's got an EPA that's doing everything they can to kill private sector jobs in America. So, yes, I want families to have better-paying jobs and better benefits, but we're not going to get that with a government mandate. We're going to get that with a growing economy.
Hey, Piyush. The check from Big Coal and Big Oil and Big Gas cleared. Because you earned it, buddy. Hey, how's that all-of-the-above energy policy working out down there in your little toxic state? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I thought. I guess this is all theoretical. God, I love you, Nikki. Got a tweet after the Blazing Saddles clip a minute ago. Dies laughing and burns house down with the pies. careful, please. We don't like anybody getting hurt during the program. Although, for apple pie purposes, I will note the mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV25801, for I love me some homemade apple pie. That probably wouldn't do well in shipping. Brother Deacon Asa says, methinks that Lindsey Graham might even fancy him some dictators. Yeah, that's true. Gerald noting it was Saint Ronnie who screwed us on Social Security. Right, when, you know, at a time when my generation wasn't much, you know, we weren't into politics back then. Yeah, meanwhile, Robert up near Morgantown says, that European nightmare is looking a lot better than that American dream does these days. Because it's what the American dream was before the Reaganites got hold of things. A growing economy, Robert knows, is just more jobs, not better jobs and better wages. Well, there's that, yes. In regard to little old Lindsay, GK says, Lindsay, the real Bill of the South, that Lindsay, yes, that Lindsay, GK, fiddle-dee-dee, we'll worry about it tomorrow. Steve, with regard to Lindsay's, the days are over for you, dictators. You mean like Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, China? Well, I mean, not Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, Steve. Those are good dictators. Those are our, wait a minute, partners in peace. All right. Those are the good head loppers. Okay, I think we could have that discussion. Steve said Marco's not like one of the bad hobbits. He's more like an orc. Jim points out, last night was a hog fry. Oh, a hog fry. Nothing more, nothing less. Jebbia is a real fixer. Yes, he is. He was an advisor to Lehman Brothers and Barclays Bank. Fixed them up real good. And Ron and Raleigh with a note from earlier. Subject line, National Patrician Radio. This morning on the way to work, I was listening to NPR. They did a long interview with the Israeli defense minister. He was waxing positive about the quality of life for Arabs and Palestinians in East Jerusalem. According to the DM, everything in EJ is all Mai Tais and Yahtzee. He said that things are relatively calm in the occupied territories. They're going to continue this whitewash tomorrow. It's no wonder the American people have such a distorted view of life in Gaza and the occupied territories. I believe in the median run, Israel's going to drag the U.S. into a war that will only benefit Israel. We need to put some distance between us and them. Oh, but then the veil of protection will be rented or leased or something, and God will send earthquakes and tornadoes and smog. Was Aquabuda Randy Paul was he even in the? I mean, was he did he even get the participation trophy? They did reach out to Bernie Sanders to see what he thought of it over at Chicken Noodle News. Mm-hmm. Bernie was, of course, Bernie. To wit.
It was really painful. I have to say this to you, Chris. I couldn't go on the full 3 hours. I gave up after 2.5. What was really remarkable is the degree to which they avoided the major issues facing the American people and believe that every single problem facing humanity is all attributed to Barack Obama. He has caused all of the problems. We seem to have forgotten that when Bush left office, 800,000 people were losing their jobs every single month. The world's financial system was on the verge of collapse, and our deficit was a record-breaking $1.4 trillion dollars.
On climate change, they said, yeah, okay, it's there, but it's not for the federal government. Let the states deal with it more. Federal government doesn't have an answer. In terms of poverty and income, they blame you. They say you've taxed people into a position that they're in, and you've locked up business. And most notably on immigration, they say that's on you, too, because your party president, I know you're an independent, but caucusing with the Democrats, and they say that Barack Obama promised it. It's part of why he got elected, and he's done nothing. You didn't get it done. These are all your problems.
Oh, well, let's just deal with that. First of all, they do not believe. I mean, let's be frank. They do not believe in comprehensive immigration reform, and that's why the House of Representatives has not taken up the comprehensive immigration reform passed by the Democrats with, in a bipartisan way, I should say, in the Senate. We did it. In terms of climate change, no, Chris, I did not hear anybody say, oh, this is a planetary crisis. We have got to do something. Really, the federal government should not do something? No scientist that I know believes that. What they think is if we don't act now, the bad situation will become much worse in later years. In terms of childhood poverty, I didn't hear a word about the need to address the fact that 40% of African-American kids in this country are living in poverty. Nor did I hear a word, by the way, about racial justice in this country.
The candidates, as you know, Senator, went after each other somewhat last night. And they also went after Hillary Clinton, and they took sort of a side swipe at you in the process. Let me play for you what Bobby Jindal said.
Hillary Clinton is gift-wrapping this election to us. They are running their weakest candidate. They've got a socialist that is gaining on Hillary Clinton. Folks, you can't make that up. A socialist is doing well in the Democratic primary.
I know for Governor Jindal, it is easy to try to frighten people. We throw out a word. Socialism, oh my goodness, we're all supposed to be shaking in our boots. But I think if you look at some of the real success stories in many of these countries, there's a lot that we can learn.
Sure there is. And you know what? Every time American tax dollars go to prop up that oil industry that he worships day in and day out, and giving them some socialism, when the American tax dollars went to bail out Wall Street, that socialism didn't bother Piyush Jindal. Of course not. See, when they say they object to socialism, these miserable, godforsaken right wingers, when they say they object to socialism, what they mean is they object to socialism that would benefit the working class. They love them some socialism as long as it's benefiting. The people who are their benefactors. They love socialism that benefits the Koch brothers. They love socialism that benefits Sheldon Adelson. They love socialism that benefits coal, oil, gas, the Monsantos of the world. They love that socialism because it gets checks written to them. Yeah. It's just the idea of socialism that would benefit us. That's what they hate. And they really do. I mean, they despise it. Because, you know what? Something like universal single-payer health care? If we ever got that and people could freely access medical care whenever they needed it, especially the working poor, the gratitude would be enough to destroy the Republican Party quite possibly once and for all. Take those millions of uninsured people in Texas. The party that finally gives them access to health care is going to be the party that they vote for, because when daddy doesn't have to die at 49 because he can't go to the damn doctor, that'll have repercussions. That'll have consequences, and those consequences will be that the people whose daddies don't die, the people the 16-year-old sitting in a math class in South Carolina whose mama doesn't have to die when the little girl is 16, She's going to remember that. Why do you think John Roberts had to kill the Medicaid expansion mandate? Oh, sure, we can have a for-profit mandate. That's not unconstitutional. That's just within the... we'll say that that's part of the Congress's power to tax. How's that? Okay, said sure. But inspiring working class and poor people I mean, isn't it absolutely fascinating that the people the states that John Roberts saved by killing the Medicaid expansion, isn't it fascinating that it's the entirety of the Confederacy, or almost the entirety? Can't have those poors out there getting all uppity and thinking that they've got the same right to something like health care as their betters do. I mean, there are fine health care facilities in the South. Think of Duke Medical Center. Think of MD Anderson in Houston. Think of the University of Alabama, Birmingham Medical Center. Think of Emory Medical Center in Atlanta. Quality health care is available. It's just not accessible. Because the minute it becomes accessible, the right-wing death grip on the South is over. Said it before and I'll say it again. The most brilliant, the most evilly brilliant Republican in Washington, D.C. is John Roberts. Oh, and by the way, that business with Lindsay complaining about how the Clintons said they were broke. Well, they were. Bill and Hillary were pretty much tapped out when they got out of the White House because, see, they had legal bills that looked like they were funding a war. Now, sure, they then turned around and leveraged their privilege. That's what privilege is for. But it's not like they came out of the White House broke because they were out there. They were out there spending those big presidential dollars on beer and Skittles. The hell's a Skittle? I don't know. So there's the filibobster. God knows we've got more. Much, much more, including, if you wish, your calls. You know how to reach the program, right? Area code 304-574-8178 or area code 304-663-HORN, 663-4676. That's the stress line, named after the inimitable Bill, Mr. Stress Miller. Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn from anywhere on the planet for free. So you can jump in that way if the spirit so moveth thee. Mm-hmm. And it being Thursday, the 29th of March, no, October. We've got the Green News Report coming up. And I want to send thanks out to Joyce. Thank you very kindly, Joyce. Joyce got us started this evening. We are only $525 away from being done with fundraising for the week. A couple of emails. You can jump in alongside Joyce if you wish by going over to headonradionetwork.com/contribute. Jack in Shreveport says, I'm still not convinced that the Heritage Foundation health plan didn't have that Medicaid expansion thing in there on purpose.
It will.
There's a compelling argument there. No, not those Skittles. Randy says Skittles are rainbow-colored candies that have god-awful artificial flavors in them. But I think that predate that. The word Skittles predates the candies. Now I know there's a game, and it's quite fun. There's a board. It's like a hollow box or something called Skittles. I saw it once at Berea at the gift shop inside the Daniel Boone Hotel in Berea, Kentucky. Looked like darn fun. Yeah, Robert, too, says Skittles, candy, fruity M&M type. I think Skittles has an older meaning. Meanwhile, a little bit of factuality coming in from Gerald. Man, we really dodged one earlier with the story about the monument defacing in Berlin, didn't we? Gerald must have picked a different time. Gerald says, okay, now let me see. The Dow was below 7,000 when Dim Leader left office. It's now around 17,000. Tell me about how bad this economy is again. Look, how a Republican can say with a straight face that Barack Obama has been bad for them just plumb evades me. They've gotten a 10,000 point gain in the Dow, in their portfolios in the not quite 8 years he's been president. Oh, but he's a divider. Now, see, from down here where I am, yeah, I'm not so crazy about 17,000 point jump in Wall Street in the Dow's value doesn't mean anything to me, and it doesn't mean anything to millions of people because Wall Street is not Main Street. And it has not, what's that phrase those damned Republicans are so fond of? Trickle down. No, there's no trickle. Not even a drip. And thanks, Leo, for jumping in alongside Joyce. That is much appreciated. We are now we've only got $475 to go. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Leo. Thank you very kindly. And you too can jump in if you have the wish, the desire, or the ability, all three of those at the same time. I guess you can jump in alongside Leo and Joyce. Thank you very, very much indeed. So yeah, it's break time, and you can light up the phones if you want to. This is, after all, conversation radio. That's how this works. And after the Green News Report, we'll get right back after it. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey, hey, the clouds are away. The straw for the donkeys and the innocents can all sleep safe. All sleep safe. Bye, bye, sun is pie. There's fodder for the cannons and the guilty.
It's Thursday, October 29, 2015.
That's the way we deal with global warming, climate change, or any of those problems. Not through government intervention, not through government taxes.
Government can't wave a magic wand and make that happen.
Let the private sector do this.
Republicans pan government action on climate and energy at their third presidential debate.
Special GNR coverage straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Governor Pataki, you've indicated you believe climate change is real and caused at least in part by human activity.
He's a witch. Burn him. This is your Green News Report.
Witch!
Okay, Desi Doyen, is it just my imagination, or are we actually seeing more conversation about climate change coming out in Republican presidential debates, and not to scoff at it, but to actually discuss what to do about it?
Well, it's a start. They don't really talk much about policy, but at least they're not as aggressively denying the science.
Former New York Governor George Pataki came out and actually excoriated the party, said that, yes, climate change is real. He's mad at Republicans for not understanding that. That's a start. Have I set the bar too low?
I believe you have, but hey, that's kind of where we are with today's Republican Party.
Plus, he was in the undercard kiddie table debate, so no one really saw that, so there's that.
Yes, at the third Republican presidential primary debate, both the main and the junior debate in Boulder, Colorado on Wednesday, debate host CNBC said they were going to focus on economic issues. And although one of the fastest growing sectors of the economy is clean energy, CNBC only briefly mentioned energy and climate change. In the so-called undercard debate, as you mentioned, former New York Governor George Pataki broke ranks and criticized the anti-science stance of most of his party.
One of the things that troubles me about the Republican Party is too often we question science that everyone accepts. I want Republicans to embrace innovation and technology. We could have far more clean energy. We can have next generation nuclear, thorium reactors that have no risk of meltdown. We can have solar panels on every home, R&D credits, let the private sector do this. We could export those technologies to places like China.
Now, Pataki was the only one to discuss really any kind of policy or expansion of clean energy. He echoes the policies of Democratic presidential candidates about accelerating clean energy investment and exporting that technology to the rest of the world, but he didn't have any real solutions for actually reducing emissions that cause climate change.
Yeah, there was some question about what will you do about climate change, and then they go on to talk about how we have to have as much energy as possible and never actually talk about reducing carbon emissions. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, in the main debate, offered a similar take.
We've laid out a national energy plan that says that we should invest in all types of energy. We need to make sure that we do everything we can across all kinds of energy. Natural gas, oil, absolutely, but also where it's affordable, solar, wind in Iowa has become very affordable and it makes sense. That's the way we deal with global warming, climate change, or any of those problems. Not through government intervention, not through government taxes.
Yes, well, wind in Iowa has become very affordable thanks to government tax credits. Not sure how more development of oil helps climate change.
That's right, it doesn't. Now, notice that Pataki and the other candidates advocate waiting for the private sector to get around to this. But the fact is that government research funding has been the main driver behind pretty much all tech innovation, from the internet to cell phones to fracking.
To oil and coal production for decades.
Exactly. And although he criticized the role of government policy, Governor Chris Christie took credit for New Jersey ranking third in the nation for solar installations. That's correct, but it wasn't a private sector miracle. That was thanks to government policies put in place by previous administrations.
Exactly. He actually pulled out of a regional greenhouse gas initiative. So it's fun that he's taking credit for what he didn't do.
And also note that for some reason, the other candidates kept completely silent and did not jump in to add their two cents for this.
Go figure.
No discussion of the UN climate talks either, which the next president will have to deal with. So we got basically the same Republican Party talking points, more oil and gas drilling, and no matter what their position on climate change, all of the Republican presidential candidates all agree we should make sure the government does nothing on climate. And although this CNBC debate was focused on economic issues, another thing CNBC did not cover was that This week, more major corporations have signed on to climate action. The White House announced on Monday that 81 more big corporations have signed on to support President Obama's clean power plan.
So corporations, the private sector, is coming on board with what Barack Obama is doing. This debate on CNBC was supposedly about your money, your economy. Nobody talked about that. No questions were raised about that. The economy goes on. The fight against climate change goes on as if it never occurred in the Republican Party and even on CNBC.
Yep.
For much more on our coverage today and the stories we couldn't get to, thanks to the Republicans and their debate and CNBC, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Whispering sounds of silence.
Minutes past the hour on this Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn. Here's one you don't find. Here's a story you don't hear every day. Oh, I'm Bob. Hi. It's a West Virginia story. It comes out of a little community called Cross Lanes, which is down Putnam County way, down in the Tays Valley area. Generally, we talked last week about Barack Obama coming to West Virginia to talk about our horrific, mind-bending, tragedy-inducing drug problem here. We run about 34 drug overdoses for every 100,000 people, and that's more than twice the national average. And we discussed the reasons for it and everything. But in the midst of the coverage of the president's visit here, and as a result of the obvious passion and concern that President Obama brought to the situation, a man down in Cross Lanes started calling the sheriff's department repeatedly, time after time after time, begging for help. Just dialing 911. And finally, 911 dispatch sent a roller out there. Kanawha County Sheriff's deputies. Not quite to Putnam County. When they rolled in there in Cross Lanes at his home, he admitted the deputies to his home. They didn't have a search warrant or anything. He put his hands on the wall and said, "Over there," and showed him a cooler. In the cooler was a set of digital scales, 16 Suboxone packs and patches, some weed, 19 grams of ecstasy, and over 150 pain pills. The deputies confiscated all of that, handed it over to an evidence technician, and they did not arrest the man in question. They didn't arrest him. Because, see, he told them he was a heavy drug user. But he said all he wanted to do was live a drug-free life for his mama. And that he came to that conclusion after watching President Obama in West Virginia. Yeah. The Kanawha County Sheriff's Office says that that office will help anybody who wants to recover from drug addiction. Sergeant Brian Humphreys of the Kanawha County Sheriff's Office said, "If you're genuinely an addict who wants help, the first responders around the Kanawha Valley want to help. We applaud this person's self-initiated efforts and wish him well." in his recovery, the sheriff's office said. Because this is a very real problem in this state, well, in the country. In the last 5 years, 2,900 dead West Virginians from painkiller or heroin OD. And I'm sure the sheriff's department does wish him well in his recovery efforts. The problem is we are overwhelmed in this state and have and have not much at all in the way of actual recovery resources. Cole keeps lights on, but not at the rehab center. How's that for our national divider-in-chief there, Jebya? Say whatever you will about Barack Obama's presidency, and there's plenty to criticize, even from the left, our side. But he actually saved a life. He came here to a state that almost to a person loathes him, despises him, hates him, holds for him a degree of vitriol and spleen that is seldom seen in the modern age. Barack Obama came to a state that wouldn't pee on him to put out a fire. And he saved a life. And you know, that's the measure, in many ways, as far as I'm concerned, that's the measure of the worth of the worth of a human life. Did you make someone else's time on this planet better? And he did. Wouldn't you love to have had a question regarding that story asked of any of these the vicious monsters of the right last night? And by the way, President Obama's budget suggestion includes almost $100 million in new funding for overdose prevention programs and expansion of medically assisted treatment. The Republicans are will no more pass that budget than they will fly to the moon. Because, you know, helping people get over drug addiction, well, that's socialism, and we've had socialism rammed down our throats, and we're on the road to socialism. They're disgusting, you know that? Meanwhile, our entirely corrupt attorney general in this state, an out-of-stater, a carpetbagger by the name of Patrick Morrissey, who is a former drug lobbyist and his wife is still a drug company lobbyist, he said, "While President Obama finds it necessary to address our state about a war on drugs, it is inconceivable that he refuses to address in any meaningful way the plight of our minors and their families. The president's policies have consigned our state to poverty and have caused a loss of hope in our citizens." Oh, shut up! Go and change your armor. Because, see, he has tried to address the plight of our minors and their families. It's called the Power Plus Plan. And he has begged Appalachia to sign on it. But is my member of Congress, Evan Jenkins, out there pushing for it? No. David McKinley? No. Looney Mooney? No. Joe Manchin? No. Shelley Moore Capito? No. GERT, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin? No. Because, see, just as the great sin in the trial of Tom Robinson in To Kill a Mockingbird was that Mayella Yule felt sorry for a black was that a black man felt sorry for a white woman, Mayella Yule. West Virginia don't want nothing to do with his Kenyan, you slurper money. We'll just sit around and complain and chew up our Oxycontins for the refreshing burst of flavor. And think about how he's divided the nation with his war on coal. But no matter what that miserable asshat Patrick Morrissey says, Barack Obama came to West Virginia and saved a life. You know, if you believe in that whole afterlife, pearly gates, streets of gold thing, that might get that one moment, that one moment might wipe out the drone strikes and all the stuff that we object to. That one moment might swing the gates open. You never know. Yeah, I'm going to the phones here in a sec. I had a note come in from Tim from L.A. Hi, Tim. Calliope. I had to bring this up as a blogger and writer. I have pet peeves. One is the improper use of the English language. Foghorn Leghorn, meaning Lindsey Graham, said that every immigrant must speak the English language if they want to live here. But which English? Graham said he wants English only and would probably allow for the discrimination against immigrants. Then when Graham said her and her husband, yeah, I know, I heard it too, Tim. Would that mean every immigrant will have to learn Republicanese English and people like us will be punished for speaking properly? Well, there you are, you know, you fucked up and you basically tarted and you talk like a... Listening to the right demanding English only for immigrants sure seems hypocritical when many immigrants I know can speak properly and using proper sentence structure, and a senator, a lawmaker, does not know the difference between her and her husband versus she and her husband at the beginning of a sentence. God, I hate English-only advocates who can neither read nor write English. Yeah, but that's American exceptionalism, Tim. Meanwhile, Robert in Australia with a note. Subject line, exponential growth. Many years ago, way back in the 1990s, our most foul-mouthed Prime Minister, Paul Keating, made a comment along the lines of, if I can't get this economy growing at 4% per year, I shouldn't have this job. It's what every politician seems to think or believe, and God knows we hear it here too. If nothing else, it's what they all say is the solution for a country's problem. Grow the economy! I often wonder how big they'd like to grow the economy. And of course, there's exponential growth. How long can you grow an economy at 4% per annum before your economy is infinitely large? There used to be a computer game, Robert says, where you grew microbes in a test tube. Whatever growth rate you set, it never took long to get the test tube to overflowing. And every election, we all fall for the old, we have to grow the economy line. Just remember, there's a word for unrestrained, infinite growth. It's called cancer. Of course, I remember back after Dim Leader was foisted upon us by the Supreme Court, when he said, the economy's running just way too hot. We're going to have to slow it down with a tax cut. And then when the economy starts slowing, well, the economy's slowing down. We're going to have to speed it up with a tax cut. It's your money. But yeah, the economy, but that kind of talk grows out of capitalism, and capitalism presumes infinite growth by virtue of infinite consumption of infinite resources. And it just doesn't work that way. Meanwhile, Carol pointing out, black people in heaven? Well, there goes the afterlife. Yeah, I know. Let's run over to the Skype line, line one, as it were. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, John, what's happening?
Oh, the same old, same old. Stimulating the economy by spending more money than I have. You know, the usual stuff. But,
Merca.
Yeah. Merca, all of its fantastic glory. I don't have the information right in front of me, but did you catch the story, I think it was yesterday, about this kid that's raised in hell and now a lawsuit's been filed because the teacher tried to make him or her, I don't remember which, but to write an essay about disproving the existence of God.
Oh, I seem to recall hearing something about that.
Yeah, I read that thing, and it just kind of reflected on the mindset. I mean, the point of the exercise was to develop critical thinking, and yet, from the explosion of outrage and oh my God, you're challenging my belief and my faith. Oh my God, you're affecting my children's belief and faith. That this poor teacher is going to be run out of town on the rail. And it just reflects everything that's been going on. That debate last night was, I didn't watch it, but I kind of did like one of my commentators that I listened to did. I kind of watched it via the reactions that people had to it. And, you know, the debate was supposed to be informative to the voters, but they spent more time screaming and hollering about the moderators and how unfair they were.
Wrestling.
Yeah, it was so damn stupid, and it's, you know, how do you say this? I mean, I always like to go, I got a friend of mine who lives in Germany, and every once in a while he calls, and he called last night at the end of the debate, and he goes, Vaughn, I got one sentence for you. And I'm like, okay, what? He says, and since this is internet radio, I can say it. He goes, you're hooked. Your country is hooked. I started laughing. Because he's right. These people are freaking nuts. Yeah, I mean, Lindsey Graham, he has no chance to win, and he's screaming. And
well, hell, those South Carolinians may throw his hoop-skirted ass right out of the Senate for saying that global warming's real, even though a whole bunch of global warming just kind of ran right inland and, you know, landed on them. How many inches of rain in a 24-hour period?
Jeez.
But, you know, it's South Carolina, so a whole bunch of people down there are saying, well, you know, the homosexuals probably caused that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's it. I mean, I was sitting in Texas at a truck stop maybe a year ago, back in the last storms, last year, a tornado took the truck stop out. And they got their insurance money, and they started rebuilding again. And the last rains over the last 4 or 5 months that have come through Texas, they're going to have to rebuild the whole thing all over again because of all the water damage, flood damage they had.
Sure.
I'm going, and I got talking to the guy in the pale, bushy, wetted remnants of his restaurant, and I couldn't help myself. I apologized. I went back to the truck and had to do a few, you know, slap myself with the rubber chicken and stuff because I felt so bad. But I had to ask him. I said, well, how about that global warming? He goes, there ain't no such thing, global warming. Climate change is bullshit. I'm looking around at his falling in roof and stuff going, So,
yeah, I know.
I was like, you know, evidence-based, fact-based, anything. They don't care. You know, and, you know, the economy is in its shambles because of one very simple thing, and you partially alluded to it a few minutes ago. You cannot grow infinitely. You can't, you know, if you keep doubling the population of the planet every generation or two, eventually you're going to run out of resources. You're going to run, and then everybody is going to be fighting over what resources are left. You're guaranteeing disaster. And these sons of bitches cannot get it through their freaking heads. They just cannot get through their heads. You know, instead of trying to grow the economy, we'd be damn sight better off learning to be more efficient with what we have. You know? It's like, geezy peasy.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. I'm...
No, I mean, sometimes I'm overcome by cynicism, and I just think, well, you know, so long and thanks for all the fish.
I sometimes like to put myself in my imagination to think about what would an alien race think of us if they could just tune in on our radios, tune in on our TV shows, listen to the madness, and go, and, you know, you got the UFO people going, well, why, you know, if the aliens are out there, why haven't they showed up? And chances are, it's because
they've observed us long enough. Thank you very much. They're aliens. They're not stupid.
No, sorry, Bob. You know, I would be more inclined to think that they're going to send a planet killer and make sure that we don't break out of this planet and go elsewhere, and spread the cancer elsewhere. But yeah, I was like, listening to that story, I was like, to me, that was the epitome. They don't like science. They don't like intellectualism. They the minute you poke a finger at them about their God, they lose their freaking minds. And, you know, they're like an anchor holding us back. It's as simple as that. You know, I've said this before, I think, to you. I used to be, when I was in school, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, you used to get books out of the library and stuff that you were, you know, writers that would write prognostications of the future. You know, we'd be at the moon by the 70s, we'd have colonies by the 80s, 90s, you know, we'd be blah, blah, this, that, another by the 2000s. And then we look at it and look back on it now and go, you know, what is it that one guy said? Well, whatever happened to the flying cars? I still don't see no damn flying cars.
Yeah, I know. Where's my Reverbo? You know, where's my helium-filled pants?
That's it. Jesus Christ. I mean, Ben Boba wrote a few things about, you know, space colonies and stuff. And
I think it's very interesting the position that Stephen Hawking takes, that the only way we can secure the future viability of the human race is by going into space and colonizing other planets.
Yeah.
Because sooner or later, and you know what? We're going to have to be very, very, very careful, John, that we don't let any goddamn Republicans on our spacecraft. Because the minute they get to the new planet, they'll start poisoning it too.
Sure.
Because, well, you know, poison, it's what they do. I love the technology stories that come out from time to time. I'm a real sucker for a good archaeology story or a good space story, and this one kind of grabbed my attention earlier today. The LA Times reporting that the Rosetta mission scientists, you know, it's a probe, out there landed on a comet, comet 67P. Churyumov-Gerasimenko, and they found oxygen in the comet's atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Oxygen.
Yes, fair. That is a key element for any kind of colonization of space, that's for sure.
And I'm just worried about the day that we send a probe out to, you know, one of the Jovian moons or whatever, and it comes back, you know what's on that moon? Oil. And the entire right wing will go, it's time to fund NASA again.
Yeah.
Because, see, right now the wingnuts in the Congress are trying to defund NASA because they say NASA is spending too much time studying that non-existent climate change.
Yep. Non-existent climate change, of course. You know, I got into a rather heated argument, but I learned something yesterday. I had this argument with this young lady. And it got kind of partially kicked off because of part of that story I was talking about. And the thrust of the argument was, as I said, you know, the point of the article, the point of the exercise was not even so much a statement of whether you believe or disbelieve, but to provide evidence of the existence of God or hell, anything really. I could expand it if you go that far. And she said something that really resonated with me. Is she said, and she kind of quoted the Bible. She says, you have to believe without fact. And I go, why? And she says, imagine what we would see of our world if we truly believed there was no afterlife, there was no God, there was no, you know, anything, that this life was it. And this is where she and I would have a definite opinion. To me, that would be an incredibly liberating thing. Because then you would have a strong motivation to do the best you could, do good for others, because you wouldn't be worried about trying to satisfy some freaking deity. But she comes back and says, without the belief of Jesus and God, then there would be no check of anybody. They would just do whatever they wanted to do because then there would be no point to it. And in my mind, I can just say, how shallow is this woman? And that's all I could think of. It's like,
sure.
It was like, ow. I mean, this person had no depth. I mean, she sounded caring. She sounded kind, generous. You know, the usual, you know, said bless you and all this other Jesus, you know, religious talk. But in the end result, if that's the way her mindset works, then if there are a whole bunch of people like her, then we're screwed. Because if the only thing that keeps them good, you know, we already believe that Republicans and right wingers are psychopaths and sociopaths anyway. But at least within the checks of their religion, at least to some extent, they're checked. But if that goes away, then holy crap, you know, the Mongol hordes are back. You know. Well, they went very far, but
yeah.
It's like, damn. But anywho, I guess somebody else has probably popped up by now, so let me buzz away. And you did get my little thing yesterday, didn't you? I think it was $25 or something.
I don't remember seeing it.
I'm not sure. Okay, because I sent on PayPal, but I was in a bad spot, so your show kept dropping, so I don't like you.
I'm looking now, anyway. just so I can make sure.
Oh, if it is, yeah, no big deal. But did you? One quick question before I leave. Did you drop off of a Stitcher?
I didn't mean to.
Okay.
And I keep writing to them, and they keep not responding. They're not real good with apparently their broadcaster relations. And yes, it did come in. Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Okay. Great. I noticed that since about October 4th or something like that, there's been no fresh. And a lot of times,
it goes back to like September in some cases, and I need to do some investigating. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, I didn't know whether you dropped it just to go for cost savings or whatever, but I noticed that it stopped. The last show I had was like October 4th or something like that. I was like, it occurred to me to ask. But anyway, have a nice night and yada yada, blah blah, and all your stuff.
Shiny side up, muddy side down.
Bad bills.
All right. Take care, John.
Bye bye.
Bye now. from out on the road, John, and now we go to a more stationary position in an undisclosed location somewhere in Nevada, Stan. And Jim, hey, Jim.
Sir.
Well, you know.
I saw quote unquote the low lights of the Republicans thing, and then I was watched. I got daring and I went ahead and watched Fox's coverage, and God, they're just so it's so weird. They just. By the way, they're talking about how biased CNBC was. And I'm thinking,
yeah. Oh, please.
You lying rat bastard and throwing every goddamn MF and curse word after. I'm thinking, CNBC, they're always their bias is toward the Republican Party. I mean, never mind that all the major networks generally are anyway, you know, as far as I'm concerned. But that's the stock, you know, that's the one that has the ticker tape running during the day and stuff.
Yeah.
It's the stock market show.
Well, it's also the network that had the guy on it who gave us the birth of the teabaggers. Taxed enough already. You know that hissy that he had from the floor of the stock exchange. I can't remember the guy's name.
Right. Yeah. But even the whole dishonesty of the Republicans. Of course, that's SOP. But I mean, the way the Republicans were trying to like do. And then I watched a little bit of the Fox coverage, and these are Fox, I guess, to get on to, you have to be watching Fox, you're a Fox viewer. And it's demoralizing, I watched a little bit too much, but, you know, I pulled myself out of it, but it's just bizarre. And you know, it's just like a totally different world, you know? Really, the thing that we talked about earlier, Jebya, when he said about...
You forgot to say the exclamation point.
Jebya, exclamation point. But he was talking about French work week, and I'm thinking, that son of a bitch. And I'm thinking about his brother's legacy is going to be, amongst other things, that I'm sure he holds a record about fall for most days off, right? Any president, you know,
yeah,
where he could take off. I mean, by far, by like years. And also, I remember when he, after he stole the election, or, you know, his handlers stole the election for him, August 2001, you know what happened in September 2001? He took the whole fucking month of August off. You can check that. No.
And by the time August got here, he'd already been on vacation a couple of times already.
Yeah. But I just remember, when they announced he'd taken a whole month of office. I mean, they went through all the trouble to get into the office, and then he takes the whole month of August off, and nobody said anything, and then it took finally Trump to mention, your brother, 9/11 happened during your brother's watch. You know, and it's like, I remember that, you know, but nobody else seems to remember that. And if you can bet if, what's his name, the Democrat 2000,
Al Gore?
Yeah, Gore had taken off. But no, never mind, he'd taken off. If Gore had won, and then that attack, I don't think it would have happened if Gore had been in. But if Gore had taken off, if Gore had been in office, and that would have, 9/11 would have still happened. Which I don't think it would have, but they would have jumped on that, and, you know, you'd never hear the end of it.
Oh, and by the way, it was both Jack and Sparky pointed out, it was Rick Santelli was the guy I was thinking about who had the on-air meltdown hissy.
Even some of the swipes they made, I guess it was the things you were playing about how they talk about like Fox, like it's some holy grail or some Nirvana area. I mean, it's just, and it, each See, how much longer do you think Jeb's got in? Rick, I think, what, a week or two?
He'll be in it past New Hampshire and Iowa and maybe South Carolina. He won't bail. He's a Bush. I mean, he's got enough money to choke a bull elephant. But the bundlers and the donors are getting nervous, and he really. I enjoy nothing so much as a good slap fight among Republican contenders, but that was just kind of pathetic last night, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it was kind of weird.
But is anybody pointing out that his brother was president vacation? That's his problem. I mean, W is an albatross around Jebbia's neck, because every time he criticizes somebody else for something, it turns out W did it only more so.
Yeah,
he's divided the country. Well, you know, what did W do when he refused to admit defeat?
Yeah.
Divided the nation, right?
Yep.
Oh, he's destroyed the economy. And the Dow was where under W? And it's where now? That's some serious economic destruction there, that 7,000 to 17,000 on the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
No, that's like 150% increase. That's pretty good. It's just pathetic, man. You know, I can't believe. I know there's a lot of people out there that will. It will be whoever does get the nomination. You know, it will be a real close race for the most part for the presidency. I mean, I hope Bernie gets it. Even if Bernie gets it, you know, just based on that people don't understand socialism, there's a chance that he could get beat by one of these idiot Republicans. I hope not.
But he's polling better against those Republicans than Hillary is.
Oh, he is?
Good. Yeah, at least a couple that I've seen.
Yeah.
And, bless her heart, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton's negatives among the Democratic Party, there's something like 14% of registered Democrats say that there is no way in hell they would ever vote for her. I mean, like, you know, if Ted Cruz was the nominee, if Trump was the nominee, they still wouldn't vote for Hillary just to stop them. They just loathe her that much. And those are Democrats, Jim. And I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I mean, my position, you know what my position is? If she's the nominee, I'm going to vote for her. And, you know, you can call me a sheeple. I mean, I don't mean you, but I can be a sheeple or whatever. But it's just...
Yeah, you got to. I mean,
it'll be another stumbling step on the on the road to the collapse of empire. Now, there's a new story out. Bernie and this show this speaks a little bit to Bernie's momentum. Bernie says, "Look, we need to abolish the death penalty in the United States once and for all." And of course, that's a position that is held. That's a majority position, at least inside the Democratic Party. Well, lo and behold, just like she told us, we are not Denmark. Hillary says that no, we can't abolish the death penalty. There's some people out there just need killing. But lo and behold, you remember when was it Bill who said that abortion should be legal and rare?
Right.
Legal, safe, and rare. Well, she's hauled that out for the death penalty. She says that the death penalty needs to be. I'd like to see death penalty cases be very limited and rare. I guess you can't use the word safe when you're describing the death penalty. Yeah, I mean, it's the death penalty, for God's sakes, right?
Yeah, I
But no, she wants she wants the occasional death penalty, I guess, just to keep people in line. Never mind the fact that it is used monumentally by monumental proportions, disproportionately against people of color. Well, but you know, so Hillary's okay with it as long as it's legal and rare. Limited and rare, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, and what was, I think Malloy was talking about this last week, about the, you know, how great the American economy's doing, and it's really not doing that great. It was like a grand total of like 71% were basically were making under $50,000. Yes. Making under $50,000 a year, you know. I mean, you know, even though Obama has helped the economy along, but it's like the real powers that be that run the country, their wet dream of just a super rich and very small middle class, and everybody else just on the verge of not being in the middle class. I mean, you heard that? I know you did. Twitter and to me that's incredible how Bernie's bringing it to light, and Hillary's just so lame compared to Bernie, because you know, to me, my way of thinking, I just can't. I mean, like I said, I will hold my nose and vote for her if she gets it. I hope she does it. I hope somehow there's some sort of, you know, I guess I'm a cockeyed optimist, revolution where people would just wake up, smell the caffeine, and, you know, do what has to be done, and hopefully, you know, everything works out. And I'm sorry, I got that optimist. It's just like on every front, it's feral. I mean, just everywhere, even if Bernie gets in and he can hold on for two terms and live that long, but they can get some of the stuff that needs to be done. Like you said, once FDR got in, he got some stuff done, but you have to get that stuff done fast, and he's going to need both houses, the Congress and the Senate, to get anything done. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of rambling, so yeah. But God, I've just seeing those Republicans, we're just seeing the "quote unquote" lowlights of it. That's scary. I mean, that's once again, you know, and I understand that 14% or whatever. Try and reconsider, but I mean, I hopefully vote Bernie first. Campaign for him, do whatever you can, but
right.
God. Just seeing what I saw in the high low light, and the thing, you watch Fox News, and they're doing it. You get their perspective, you know, and it's just, that is scary to realize that they're not only people that put that stuff out there, but people that watch that crap, and a lot of them aren't even in that. You know, it's the typical Republican voting against their typical. Worker voting against their own self-interest because, you know, that's what they tell them on Fox News. I mean, it's scary. All right, well, I'm just fixing a pork chop. Once you go.
Sounds tasty.
Some taters and a little pork chop. And wait for your next caller to get through.
All right, Jim. You have yourself a good evening.
All right.
See you now. Our buddy Jim calling from Nevadistan. Pork chops and applesauce. Wait, that's a Brady Bunch reference, isn't it? Yes, it is. It is 4 minutes. 4 minutes before the 3 minutes before the hour, and we are still stuck at $475 to go in fundraising, and it sure would be nice to knock that down a bit more of a lick. It really, really would be. Let's go back to line one. Hey, Jim.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, just okay, I guess. Just well as can be.
Did you enjoy the hog fry?
It wasn't. Well, I think hog fry would be a good term. Hog calling would be an even better term, but, you know, it was just an exercise in futility and stupidity and lots of other bad things. I mean, if that's the best they've got to offer, God help them.
And one of them's going to have a 50-50 chance of becoming president of the United States.
Well, you know, like Hitler's secretary used to say, Mein Führer, it will either rain or not rain. 50-50. There it is. I talked to a friend of mine on the Hill today, and we're talking about the Senate voting to verify or to pass this debt resolution thing. Now, they're going to meet, according to what he told me, at 01:30. After having pizza sent in, and I said, pizza? I said, why in the hell do these people have to wait for these odd hours? Do they have to get out of their coffins and vote because they can't get out in the sunlight? And he started laughing. And I said, by the way, do you ever see that guy, that doctor with that thing on his head? And he said, that's the best laugh I've had all day. And I said, please tell him to at least take some advice from Trump and get a hat. I said, you know, every time I see that guy...
That's not a guy with a duck on his head. That's a duck with a guy on his ass.
Oh, well, I don't know. But I said, you know, I told him, and I said, I don't mean any disrespect. And he said, no, I understand exactly what you're saying. And I said, it looks like some... You know, a nest of robins might be in there, but I think it might well be a nest of gargoyles or vultures.
Or snakes.
Yeah. And I said, can you tell me why in the world do these people have to meet at these odd hours of the night, starting at 01:30? Going on through 3:30.
Well, you know, there's going to be a problem, though, because, I mean, I'm familiar with that neck of the woods, and I've been in a position of needing a delivery pizza up on the hill. There is no good delivery pizza anywhere on Capitol Hill.
Well, I told him, I said, are you kidding me, pizza? I said, they're going to have liquor brought in, or they've got a place where they can go and get, you know, snockered or whatever. But after the conversation and after all the badinage, the repartee, I said, look, I said, this is ridiculous. I said, for Senate to have to meet at this time of morning in order to do its business, now we've got, what, 57, 43 in there?
Yeah, thereabouts.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to take a couple more votes to... And I guess it's going to have to be...
But you know what? They figured these guys can get things done when they want to. Randy in PA was pointing out to me that the Senate actually passed a bill. And they passed it overwhelmingly. The vote was 74 to 21, Jim. And it's called CISA, the Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act. And a lot of tech companies and a lot of the citizenry are absolutely pissed right off because it's going to be more intrusive data collection. But yeah, 74 to 21.
Well, that's a big thing right now with cybersecurity, and you know they fired the Office of Personnel Management Director over that. He's gone. I talked to OPM today and called the director's number. And this lady didn't know what the hell I was talking about. I was asking her about COLAs and stuff like that for federal employees, FERS and CSRS. And the first one said, well, people still in service are going to get 3.7%. I said, wow. I said, what about annuitants? Oh, nothing. And I said, well, thank you, ma'am. Called another one. She didn't know anything about it.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, okay. And I talked to another one. And, of course, the federal retirement system is located in this cave in Boyers, Pennsylvania. And she said, well, I'll give you a toll-free number. I said, do you know where that toll-free number leads? I said, you ever been up there? She said, no. I said, well, I said, it's safe place to be if you're in a bomb blast, but I said it's in a cave lined with chalk. I said, you really wouldn't want to work there. Of course, a vampire would love it. But they're going to have to meet at these odd hours, and, you know, I can't understand that. I mean, I know that they had a similar experience when they passed this Medicare Part D thing where they had to meet or one group of this august body, whichever one it would be, at very dark hours. But I just don't understand that. I mean, why can't they do the people's business?
Because Jim, the Congress, the Republican Congress does not believe in the idea of popular government.
Yeah, and
their only purpose in being there is to destroy what they're there to participate in. I come near puking every time I hear some right wing Republican jackanapes in the Congress talk and these presidential pageant candidates. Big government. And I keep that. Well, and then that brings to mind what's his face, who said he didn't want to eliminate government; he just wanted to make it small enough to drown in a bathtub.
Who, Grover?
Yeah, Grover Norquist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he is something to hear and look at. That's for sure.
But nobody, and the thing is, the people who follow, and they, you know, they're followers, they're not thinkers, they're followers, they're little baby ducks, but the people, small limited government, uh-huh. Well, dumbass, did you ever think about that, what that small limited government's not going to be able to do? What happens when it's small enough that it can't get your disability check to you on time, huh? Well, not that small, oh, okay.
Yeah, and I was listening to Jindal or whatever his name is. Somebody needs to redo his makeup. I mean, he looked like something from the Bengal Lancers.
Meow. It's just a little. It's just a little catty, Jim.
Well, let's face it. When it comes to people like that who are trying to bullshit me and stuff like this, you know, don't piss in my face and call it rain.
No.
And that's exactly what I said to this guy today, and he said, I understand exactly what you're saying. It was a younger staffer.
Well, it's like that Rick Wiles guy having his hissy about Halloween last night. I continued to think about it, Jim, and after a while I realized, you know, I don't like thinking ill of people. It's not my default position, but when somebody is that mean and hateful and crappy, as Rick Wiles is, I got to thinking, wouldn't it be fun? Have you seen the videos out there, the Halloween videos? People are taking, the little remote-controlled drones, you know, the consumer ones, and they're putting skeleton ghost costumes on it and flying it up and down the street.
Wow.
And, I mean, it's really neat. And I just got...
technology is wonderful.
And I just got to thinking, wouldn't it be awesome if somebody could do like a devil costume on a drone, and you know, the next time Rick Wiles takes Gator out for his walk, just zoom that devil drone up to him and just watch it, because you know he believes in that kind of stuff, and just watch him, whoop, you know, and you know, no more Rick Wiles.
I guess so. They actually had drones that they're going to use as a part of the Halloween festival.
Oh, no, it's not necessarily a festival. It's just people being creative, you know, because drones aren't terribly big. And so what the ones I've seen, what they do is they mount like a Grim Reaper skeleton face and, you know, and then some light, you know, not heavyweight, but light sort of ghostly rags on it so that they kind of billow and drape. And then they fly their drone up and down the street and, you know, chase people with it.
Vincent Price would be so proud.
Wouldn't he?
Yeah, he really would. I mean, you know, when I first saw that thing with Michael Jackson and he did that 40,000 Years of Funk, and I thought to myself, some friends and I were together and we were having a good time, and one of them said, "What will she do next?" I mean, Vincent Price is, you know, would definitely be proud of what's happening, you know, if he could have something.
But
like
I would. I'd love to see somebody just fly a devil drone right up to Rick Wiles, and maybe they could be a little speaker attached to it, and you go, boo! And then, you know, Gator just kind of sits there and goes, woo! Or maybe goes and barks at the inflatable spider or something.
Well, Gator will probably, who knows, if he bit into that spider, you know what might happen.
But that's another thing, Jim. He's so homophobic, Rick Wiles is. Why did he name his dog something that begins with gay?
Well, it's after Gator Nelson.
Oh,
out of John Waters' Female Trouble. You ever seen that movie?
Oh, yeah, and I can just imagine Rick Wiles sitting, hey, are the doors locked? Good, okay. Let me get my tutu on and we're going to watch some John Waters.
Well, Gator was the one who wanted to go back and find his real raison d'etre to Detroit to find his life in the auto industry, because he had this aunt, you know, remember, Miss Edie, who was upset because he was straight. I mean, the whole thing is just crazy. Anybody who would call their dog Gator, I mean, what does that tell you about the, you know, the mentality and the type of thing that's driving the interior of this guy's brain and what he said about all that stuff and that you surfaced last night? I mean, these people are just, you know, it's a remake of the House of Crazies. I mean, I used to see these kinds of crazy movies back in the 70s and 80s, but now it's become real reality. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they would all make good stand-ins or whatever you want to call it for a remake of The Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, and by the way, just look later. Get on your computer, Jim, and just type into Google or whatever, Halloween Ghost Drone. And you'll see what I'm talking about.
Well,
I mean, it's really clever. It's really creative.
Well, if one flies by here, I'll have to tip my hat and say, how do? And, you know, my God in heaven, but it's just amazing. It's just amazing. But going back to the Senate tonight, I guess they'll pass that thing, won't they?
One presumes, yeah. They pride themselves on being the grown-ups. The loons
are
over the house.
Well, I mean, what are they going to have to have, you know, in order to pass it? And what are they going to have a gigantic suppository?
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, I can remember when, you know, the Senate was really respectable, an august body, and you had, you know, abilities for people to cross the aisle and do the business for which they were sent to do the business of the American people. But, you know, I don't even think the Austro-Hungarian Parliament, in which back in the last century, would get all upset with each other and throw bottles out of the aisles at each other. Or even going back even further, when people were getting caned on the front steps of the Capitol or whatever. I just don't understand. What has gotten into these people?
Well, I come back to what I said previously. it's quite deliberate. They despise government. They're out to destroy the government of the United States. That's why back with the government shutdown, I referred to it as an insurgency, you know, because it is.
Well, what do they plan to do for a living?
Well, no, I mean, they'll destroy the part of it that does any good. Their only purpose will be, I mean, they'll keep enough government to keep their checks clearing.
Yeah, well, you know, there were people under Kerensky who thought the same thing, and that little faux pas that he committed, and guess what happened? He learned quite quickly how revolutions can destroy their own perpetrators and children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, if they're going to destroy it or leave enough to keep their checks clearing, I don't think that's going to work.
I mean, this is no longer a parliamentary debate between two competing philosophies, both going in the same direction, Jim.
No, it's not. It is a bloodletting operation which is being performed from the body politic of this country. And that's exactly what it is. They literally are driven to the point that they wish to create some type of situation in which they exsanguinate that which they don't like. But mm-hmm. The trouble is, it's going to devil right back on them.
Well, they're not that perspicacious. They're not that introspective, Jim.
I mean, they're not that intelligent, really. And I don't know about the Senate, but in the House, what is that Freedom Caucus?
There's 40 of them, and they're that's
48,
your,
I think.
That's your Steve Cantaloupe King, and your Louis Asparagus Gohmert, and your Martha Roly Poly Little Bat Faced Girl Roby, and
the one with the bad hair.
Yeah, and Trey Sweats Like a Wax Dummy Gowdy, right? Harold,
okay,
Harold,
we
not
have
Trey,
some
Harold.
real robots up there that are, you know, I just think that maybe it's the invasion of the body snatchers or whatever, excuse me, and I just don't understand what type of intelligence or lack of intelligence could drive the actions that they commit. I really don't.
Venality and ignorance. Venality and ignorance, Jim.
I guess that reflects the district of the people who put them up there.
It absolutely does. When you look at Martha Roby or Steve King or Louis Gohmert, you have to see the people behind them. And there you have it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that thing they had with Paul Ryan, oh, my Lord.
Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan. Get used to it.
Did you notice the tone and the cadence of his speech when he made his first address to the Congress? And this real deep baritone voice that was just going out like, you know.
Yeah, he was butching it up.
Yeah, he was. His command presence, which has as much.
From henceforward, Speaker Munster. Eddie Munster is Speaker of the House.
That's true, absolutely.
Well, Jim, you have yourself a good evening.
Well, you too, and we'll see if they pass this thing. But I want to ask you something. Exactly what will this debt ceiling increase do?
Well, basically, John Boehner has done a big favor for the Republican presidential contenders because it keeps them from having to talk about the budgetary issues and the fact that the Republicans are trying to burn government to the ground through the election cycle.
Well, I think Ryan has said that he will do nothing until Obama is out of the White House.
Well, no, he signed off saying that he will do nothing on immigration reform as long as Barack Obama is in the White House.
Well, if that's the case, then what do you think he's going to do about other things?
I think he's probably, well, look, the Freedom Caucus holds him hostage. the entire government of the United States is being held hostage by 40 morons. It's that simple.
That is simply incredible to me.
Isn't it?
It is. I mean, really, is it 40 representatives can limit whatever legislation is brought to the floor.
And it's happening in the House where they don't even have a filibuster. But see, Paul Ryan signed on to the so-called Hastert rule that says nothing comes to the floor unless it has majority Republican support, and there's enough members of the Freedom Caucus to keep anything they don't like from having majority Republican support.
Oh, not to prolong the conversation, but Mr. Hastert will get no more than 6 months.
Yeah, probably.
That's it. That was on TV today.
He entered his guilty plea, but the sentencing hasn't happened yet, has it?
Yeah, but they said that the sentencing would be no more than 6 months.
Well, that's what the prosecution and the defense agreed to, but the judge can give him up to 5 years, and the judge's hands are not tied.
Well, maybe he and Don Blankenship, if they ever could convict him, maybe they could be cellmates somewhere.
Devoutly to be wished, Jim. Devoutly to be wished.
And maybe they could have a threesome in there with a big guy like one of those James Bond characters out of Live and Let Die. And they can have a threesome, and they can all, you know, worship Bubba or whatever.
My mind's eye is going to have to be bleached immediately after the program now, Jim. Thank you very kindly.
Why?
Just, ooh.
Well, I think it'd be a good idea for those three, for those two to be playing house or whatever. But nonetheless, we'll see what happens. And as far as COLAs for those people who are Social Security, well, they'll get none. And as far as federal annuitants are concerned, people
nothing.
Who serve their country, I don't think they're going to get anything either.
No, because freedom.
But, I mean, if you look back over the scale of the COLAs that have been given to these people over the past couple of years, you know, unfortunately, the Obama administration or whoever is in charge of these things have not been very kind to people who've served the government and who've tried to do the very best they can to keep the country running.
The biggest single job loss sector is government employees. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Sure is.
All right, well, Jim, take care, and we will talk soon.
Well, we'll see. And, you know, if you see Gator or if you see any drones flying over your house, I guess you better get your old trusty out there, because it might not be a spook. Well, it might be a spook, but it's another kind of spook. It doesn't say boo.
Indeed. Take it easy.
You too.
Bye now. And that's Jim, and onward we go to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program. Thanks for waiting.
Well, good evening. How are you?
I'm among the living.
I wanted to call and tell you, I think the hog fry was horrible. They're absolute idiots. I don't know what to say.
Well, just a first name?
This is Heather.
Oh, hi, Heather. Okay, thank you for calling.
And I listen to you on FYI Nation.
Yes.
But anyway, I do. I really think that party needs a makeover. I mean, a really bad makeover. A really, really, really bad makeover. I mean, they can't get any worse.
Don't you dare say that. Every time we say that, they get worse.
Okay. But
I mean, no, I was ruminating on that, Heather, the other day, just because, you know, I do that a lot. I ruminate. And I was thinking about back in 1988 when Pappy Bush was running for president and selected Dan Quayle. Remember Dan Quayle?
Oh, good Lord. Yes. And I was only a teenager when they were in office.
Yeah, but potato with an E, Dan Quayle. Dan Quayle, yes, who went to Latin America and said he wished he'd paid more attention in Latin class, that Dan Quayle?
Unfortunately, yes.
And so I was thinking about, because I remember back then and we went, really? Dan, he's a damn idiot. And we looked at each other, well, okay, but, you know, and that's a heartbeat away from the presidency. And all of a sudden, you had Democrats all over America praying for the health and well-being of George H.W. Bush. Because it can't get no dumber than Dan Quayle. And then 2000 came along. And lo and behold, there was dim leader. And now, and we've got, and you know, so you got dim leader, and now we've got the House populated by people like Louis Asparagus Gohmert and Steve Cantaloupe's King. And I have learned, Heather, I have just learned, I will not say they cannot get any more stupid, because it seems like the capacity of a certain portion of the population of this country for near limitless mean-spirited stupidity, it's mind-boggling.
It is, and like I said, I've got nothing to say about them, but it just surprises me. And I can also tell you that I've spoke to you, well, I've written back and forth to you on Facebook very, very recently.
Yes.
And you should see some of the stuff on Twitter. I kid you not, I follow some people who kind of, you know, play along with some of the nitwits.
Mm-hmm.
And you could put some of this stuff could be read on mean tweets from, you know, some of the stuff could be seriously read on mean tweets, and then some of it is just vulgar and nasty. I can't believe it.
Oh, they've got vulgar and nasty locked right up.
I just,
And you know, you talk about wanting to give the Republicans a makeover. As Carol just noted, they ain't enough Botox on the planet, sister.
Oh, and Carly did not look good last night, from what I've heard.
Oh, well, I love the question about what are your weaknesses. And she said, well, I was told that I'm not smiling enough. And then she, you know, cracks a smile. It looked like it was going to shatter her face. But not, oh, well, and see, she told another one of her patented Carly Farina whoppers. And she got called on it on, I think, CNN today and got really hateful with the person who dared fact check her. Well, that comes from the Washington Post, and they said I was never a secretary. Well, which was a lie in its own right, because the Washington Post never said she wasn't a secretary. Because, see, that's part of her rags-to-riches story. I'm Carly Farina, and I started out as a lowly secretary in Mr. Drysdale's secretarial pool down at the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills, and then I got to run Hewlett-Packard right into the dirt. We corkscrewed in.
I used to have a Hewlett-Packard computer. I don't know if it was when she was the president when it was built, but it lived for quite a long time. But once Windows XP got, they said that there was no protection for Windows XP or something.
Yeah.
Once all that stuff got removed, the computer just died.
Oh, well, it probably didn't have the capacity to move up to 7, and, yeah.
But, yeah, who knows, it was just an issue, but, but that's beside the point, but I've seen some of the jokes that have been, I should say, I did see a joke quite some time ago where it talked about how many people that she ended up firing. I think.
Oh, she destroyed countless lives, didn't she?
Yes. I don't care if it's, it was bad. It just, well, like I said, I've got nothing to say, but it just shocked the shit out of me. I mean, heaven forbid. And then, of course, there was Ben Carson, who just makes people want to sleep. And
oh, he made, no, he makes me want to drink strychnine and run rabbits.
And not that I don't think anybody's got any energy in that lot.
I mean, the Donald's pretty interesting, and it was just adorable when Marco and Jebya had their slap fight.
That was pretty funny.
But by far the most entertaining one. And I think the entertainment value alone should entitle him a spot on the main stage is, Lindsey Graham.
I listened to FYI Nation last night, and we listened to the Kitty Table. And she said, we're not going to do Kitty Table anymore because it was, like you said, it might be interesting to see Lindsey.
Well, I mean, how much is P.U.
Schindel on the stage?
How much is P.U. Schindel getting paid to stay in the race? Why is George Pataki still in the race?
I don't know.
And I mean, Rick Santorum, really? I mean, is there one single person in America who says, "Oh yeah, Rick"? I mean, you're going to break out just any minute now. I mean, maybe aliens will death ray the grown up stage and we'll all have to turn to you. I mean, what kind of megalomaniac stays in it, Heather, when they're polling under 1%?
I don't know. I don't. It's very sad. And then Piyush, I don't remember. I think who was it? A friend of mine, and I gave it Nick. A nickname to Piyush, and we call him Piyush the Putz. Because that's what he is. I just, oh good Lord. And then I probably should let you go in a few minutes, but there was, I think it was the first debate, they had a picture of him on Twitter, and in one picture, he looks very Indian, and then in the picture next to it, the night of the debate, he didn't look that much, he didn't look that ethnic. I mean, he looked ethnic, but, not like he was himself. So, I don't know.
He's just... And it's not a heritage thing, it's his mind, it's his way of looking at the world. He's just gross.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's sickening. He's sickening on the same sort of the spectrum side as, the aforementioned Rick Sanctum Santorum, Bro Fro Mix. Because their existences are defined by who they hate. And, I still think that one of these days we're going to, the pictures will come out of Rick Santorum snorting meth off a gay hooker's butt.
It wouldn't surprise me. Nothing surprises me anymore with that party.
Well, you can't be that obsessed with how people love each other. Without having some really dark spider webby kind of corners of your own libido going on.
It's,
So you're in Michigan, are you?
Yes, I am.
I kind of gathered it from the accent.
Supposedly, I don't remember who it was. I guess there was another show. But actually it is. There's another show that I was listening to earlier, and in the morning, I think it was yesterday, and the lady had said one of the somewhere that when people work for news and or whatever, they try to have people have a quote unquote Midwestern accent. And I'm like, no, because there's some plainness there, I think, but, you know, who knows?
It's supposed to be the sort of flat speech standard. It's not the, the gooiness of a deep Southern accent, but accents are to a certain extent merging and morphing. I guess they always do, but with the arrival of broadcast media, a lot of our accents have dwindled.
Well, I just figured I would call and say hello, and I will listen to you more in the future.
Well, I'm awfully glad you did, Heather, and I hope you will feel absolutely comfortable chiming in anytime the spirit moves you.
Okay, thanks. Have a great night.
You too, Heather. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I always love getting new callers, and I've met some wonderful people who are over there listening at FYI Nation. Hi, FYI Nation. Yeah. 27 minutes. Before the hour, and yeah, this is shaping up to be a rough week. Sorry, but it is. We're still stuck at $475 to go in fundraising, and I'm just sort of wrapping today and tomorrow together. But thank you to Joyce and to Leo for helping out this evening. Okay, so I was talking about the hate that inhabits these people's very, very bitter beings. And speaking of Piyush Jindal, there's a thing in Des Moines, Iowa called the National Religious Liberties Conference. Steve Deese, Iowa radio host, will be there. The lead organizer, is Kevin Swanson, and Kevin Swanson is an ultra right wing gospel sharp. He hosts a program called Generations Radio. I don't think it means not the Star Trek kind of Generations. Sorry. On Generations Radio, let's see. Kevin Swanson has declared that he Boy Scouts Girl Scout cookies because they are cookies that promote lesbianism. And as this is a quote from him, "I don't want my little girl turning into a lesbian." He has fulminated or pontificated or mused, perhaps, on whether the Rose Parade, in Pasadena every January 1, whether the Rose Parade should have a float in it where a gay person gets stoned to death. He says he's really sorry that country singer Kacey Musgraves wasn't lynched for promoting homosexuality in a song. He wants people who listen to him to hold up signs telling gay people to go die when they get married. He's described gay marriage as being like the Sandy Hook school massacre. He wants us to have laws like the Pilgrims had, whereby homosexuality was punishable by summary execution. He says homosexuals caused flooding and fires in Colorado. It was gay people who brought on hurricanes Sandy and Katrina. The Presbyterian Church, when it embraced gay rights, he said they embraced Satan. He says gay people are like serial killers. He's waiting for the Boy Scouts to announced the creation of a new sodomy merit badge. He accuses gay people of dragging feces all over one of the most beautiful things God has created, you know, the marriage, where a man traded his daughter for some chickens and goats and sheep and camels and aardvarks and unicorns and no pigs. Yeah. So that's the lead organizer of this conference. And apparently Mumbling Ben Carson and Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, and pastor, brother, governor, reverend, presidential candidate, diabetes, snake oil, cure salesman, Mike Huckstaby, and Piyush Jindal have all said, well, shucks, yeah, I want to be there with Kevin. Let's see, Kevin Swanson also hates William Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Abraham Lincoln, Desmond Tutu, and Taylor Swift. And I think that may be the only time that Taylor Swift has been mentioned in the company of Desmond Tutu, Abraham Lincoln, Mark Twain, and William Shakespeare. By your fruit, by their fruits, ye shall know them. That's what the book says. But that's the thing, you know, just incapable of dealing with reality. Some of these people just opt for, well, you know what? I don't like the gay. So, you know, what we should probably do is kill them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but a new law has been proposed over in Russia. And it and Russia is already a deeply homophobic place where you can't have a gay pride parade or anything. You can't be so now a couple of members of the, what is it, the Duma? Is that what it's called? Duma? I'm not sure. Duma. Yeah, the Russian parliament, right? Jim will get that sorted out for me. They have proposed a new piece of legislation, which will probably go rip-roaring right through the legislative body, making it a criminal offense to even say you're homosexual, gay, whatever word. Mm-hmm. It will be illegal in Russia for anyone to say that they're gay. And the law will carry jail time or fines for anyone who, as the language is translated, makes public confession of non-traditional sexual orientation. So naturally, here in Merca, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever under God, enter Theodore Shobat, Shubat, S-H-O-E-B-A-T. Now, he is a hate-filled, bigoted, homophobic, right-wing freak, and kind of a youngish one. And he's just tickled to death with the news out of Russia. Oh, yes, he is.
Ugh. Communist Party members in the Russian parliament have drafted a bill that bans any sort of public expression of homosexuality. In other words, if you're one of these little punks or these schmucks who come out and they say, I'm gay, I came out of the closet, then you will be punished by the state, either by an arrest or by fines. You know what? For the first time ever, I find myself agreeing with the communists. They're both members of the Communist Party, but you know what? I agree with them. This is reality. This is what needs to be done. Because this whole homosexual garbage has gone too far. It's the sublime words of Moses that tell us how to deal with this evil. Those who have sex with animals, men who have sex with men, women who have lesbian intercourse with each other. They are to be arrested and they are to be executed. And the laws in Russia are increasingly becoming more and more intense against this evil. They're increasingly becoming more and more intense, and pretty soon you're going to be seeing the death penalty. That's my prediction. When regards to Russia and how Russia sees homosexuality and how the Russian people are, never mind just the politicians, just minus the politicians for a moment here. Let's just talk about the Russian people. The Russian people want this garbage destroyed, completely uprooted, expunged, annihilated. And the Russian people eventually are going to get what they want, and they're going to get it. If you were to ask the Russian people what they want, they would want execution. The average Russian wants execution for this nonsense. And absolutely, I completely agree. It's evil. It's straight up evil. It's something that comes from the Buffalo Bill in the Hannibal Lecter film. I mean, it's so diabolical. I don't understand how anyone in their right mind can have a desire to tolerate this sickness. Especially if you consider yourself to be a Christian. Obviously, you're not a Christian. You're fraudulent, you're a liar, you're a heretic. That has been established.
Thanks to the folks at Right Wing Watch for that. This is a serious inquiry. Can anybody tell me why that should be protected speech? Advocating the mass murder of every homosexual? How is that protected? How is that something that, I mean, you know, we talk in terms of obscenity charges, you know, which usually involve, you know, naked people. Ooh! The old standard is, I can't tell you what it is, but I know it when I see it. And we talk about, the law talks about something having artistic, political, social, or cultural value. Why doesn't hate speech like that, why isn't that subjected to the same standard? He wasn't being satirical. It wasn't parody. He wasn't being artistic. I guess you could say it's political, but what do you do? Because see, Cruz and Huxterby and Jindal and Mumbling Ben, they're all okay with that. You get them good and liquored up there. Yeah, hell yeah, let's kill the queers. Yeah, we used to play that in the backyard with the football when I was a boy. We just called Smear the Queer. As back before was politically correct. Back when America was great. Now, I think it goes without saying that Theodore Shubat probably knows something approaching absolutely nothing about the will of the Russian people or the character of the Russian people. But as is the case with the United States, in Russia, we have listeners over there. Hi, y'all. Da svidaniya. What they have there is a noisy, hate-filled cadre of murderous bigots, who are, of course, in large part propped up by the Russian Orthodox Church, who are able to impose their will on the rest of the country, the same way that the Freedom Caucus is able to impose its will on the rest of us and hold our government hostage. We're talking, again, I reiterate what I said, we are talking about insurgencies. But I really would like to know why that kind of speech deserves to be protected under the First Amendment. What would we lose in America if we said it's not okay to urge the murder of an entire class of oppressed people? Where's the value? Where's the merit? Oh, well, you know, we can't have freedom of speech unless we let this kind of stuff get out. And yet, oddly enough, I don't think, and I haven't heard anything from Ron in the Unfrozen North, but I know Brother Asa, Brother Deacon Asa is out there, and Kelly, and a number of others. You can't do that in Canada. You can't talk that filth in Canada. And I don't see Canada as, I mean, you know, people are still standing up at the hockey games, singing at the top of their lungs, "Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee." They haven't collapsed into some sort of miserable, anarcho-syndicalist hellhole. Why must we constantly tolerate people like him who hide behind the First Amendment as a firewall to protect them and make it possible for them to spew venom and hatred? Now, I'm not saying I hate the guy. I haven't advocated for his murder. But I do think we would be better off if he had to keep that crap to himself, that garbage. Because these things do eventually yield consequences. You know, imagine for a minute if Barack Obama, candidate Obama in 2008, had announced that he was going to attend a Kill Whitey conference. Hmm? I mean, Jesus Christ! He was called everything but a human being for simply going to a church that the white wingers didn't like. This is America. This is the light unto the nations. You're gonna be hard pressed to convince me that when the framers drafted the First Amendment, they were protecting this guy. Granted, the government was a rowdy, nasty place. I mean, the John Peter Zenger trial. The history of the First Amendment is well established, and there is no gone but almost forgotten day of political civility in this country. This country has never been politically civil. It's been vicious from jump. You know, the Sally Hemings stuff started being used against Thomas Jefferson during his candidacy. His opponents slimed Andrew Jackson and his wife Rachel over the issue of the timeliness of her divorce from her first husband. Lincoln was roundly pilloried. Politics has always been nasty and vile in this country. But apparently there are no limits. But I sincerely believe that there is no good to be had for our body politic when it's legal for a Theodore Shoebat. Shoebat, who knows? Blathering on about the perfect language of Moses. Moses, Moses, Moses. I am thinking this Moses should have been a fool. And using Moses as a reason to commit premeditated murder. See, this guy's a Christian fascist. He'd be completely at home having the Currywurst and with the Nazis that spray painted the memorial to the murdered Roma that we started talking about at the beginning of this program. Gas them. Lottie in the chat room says, you know, it's failed, Bob. The great experiment has failed. And the framers knew it would happen, too. Ben Franklin even said it. He fled Boston because of his religious father. And you know what? I think you could ask Dr. Bill, and maybe next week someone will. Maybe I will. But I'm pretty sure there's evidence to suggest that the framers of the Constitution and the guardians of the Revolution knew that it was over, knew that they had lost by the time they died. You know, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams died on the same day, July the 4th, 1826, on the 50th anniversary of this country. And even then, by 1826, the idea of what this country was intended to be versus what it was becoming, they knew. Madison knew the Revolution was over. Jefferson knew it had come and gone and failed. The Enlightenment was done, and the Great Awakening was on them, and the country was possessed by a religious mania. And the mania has stayed with us to this day. By the way, Brother Deacon Asa, says, you're absolutely correct, Bob. That asshole would not get away with that kind of filth on the public airwaves of Canada. And Canada is the better for it. Nobody's wandering around. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, y'all, but nobody's going around Canada sort of looking around corners to make sure nobody's listening when they speak their minds. It's not like a Stasi state where everybody's informing on everybody else. If this country is going to survive, we will eventually have to do something about our essentially incivil nature. And if we don't, we'll fall, we'll fail. Because, as I noted, while our politics have always been loaded with vitriol and pretty vicious and nasty, we're entering a new realm of nasty. Things that we tried to get over and are trying to get over, and the people have been murdered for their sexuality throughout the history of this country. Plenty, and trans people are still among the most endangered populational group in the country. There's probably a trans person killed at least once a week in this nation. And when those acts of violence happen because they are encouraged by the likes of Theodore Chabot. So maybe we'll have a discussion about that someday. Does having freedom of speech necessarily mean that we have to have freedom of incitement to murder? What do you think? You know, that'd probably be a Jim Dandy conversation for Friday on the Front Porch tomorrow. And thank you very kindly to Jill. Thank you, Jill, for helping out with fundraising. Jill and Joyce and Leo have taken our fundraising needs down to $375. Thank you very kindly. Oh, sorry, Randy. No. The Hitler pool was 7:58 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Damn it, Gerald. How do you do it? And Marty points out with regard to Theodore Schobach, you notice he didn't rail against pedophilia. No. And Robert points out, who was Moses? From my readings, Moses did not exist. There are no historical references to him. He only exists in the holy books. As for being perfect in the stories, didn't he doubt God at one point so God wouldn't let him into the promised land that they had to steal from the inhabitants? Well, there's that. There's also the fact that there is not a single shred of archaeological evidence of the Exodus either. Oh, well. So thanks, everybody. Again, thanks, Leo, thanks, Joyce, and thanks, Jill, for helping along this evening. There really are a ton of bills out there to pay. It gets kind of, stressful sometimes. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky, and in the chat room, and thank you to our news ninjas. Hey, Gene, I hope your neck's feeling better. I sympathize completely with you. Thank you to John Fox. Thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACACT, ACHEACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.